better than beer?
Can it be?
I love that.
I love craft beer.
Beer. Sparkling. Golden. Pure. A beverage as old as history.
I am passionate about craft beer.
Craft brewing is innovation.
Independence. Curiosity.
Collaboration. Character. And this is the craft beer evolution.
Beer snob like a motherfucker.
Hello and welcome to episode 8 of the Irish Beer Snob podcast. I'm Janice, Mrs. Beer Snob, with my lovely trusty sidekick, Wayne.
Yep, I've escaped from the servants' quarters, guys, to do a podcast. I'm not often allowed out anymore because I'm not in charge anymore.
I was just going to say you're looking very pasty, so maybe I will let you out a little bit more often.
Yeah, my legs are going bow-legged. I'm not getting enough lateral sunlight down here.
A little bit of vitamin D, vitamin D.
I have rights too, goddammit.
Well, today's show is actually going to be about two new beers that have come our way. They're called Grafters by Rye River Brewing in Kilcock. And also, we're going to be talking about a recent brew day that we did with them with our homebrew club. So, first of all, we are going to start off with their Pale Ale.
Pale Ale. Excellent. So, this Pale Ale is 4.5%.
Yep. In a 500ml bottle.
Okay, both in 500ml bottles. That's important to note for the more value conscious among our listeners. So tell us a little bit more about the beer there, Janice. Like what kind of aroma are you getting from there? I know when I passed under my nose, I was getting a bit citrusy.
Yeah, it's a very
aroma
from
the hops.
Fruity smell. I don't know. It's a lovely colour. It pours a lovely colour.
Okay. I kind of think it has a nice citrusy flavour, nice balanced bitterness. It's not going to terrify anyone away. It's quite an accessible beer, but you've got enough kind of bitter, juicy flavours, kind of tangerine, kind of grapefruit flavour there.
But there's a lovely sweetness to it as well. You know, there's a lovely
little bit caramel
flavour that lingers, and it's really, really nice.
Yeah, and with it being, what did we say, 4.5%?
4.5%. Very sessionable.
It's a little thin, but that's actually not a bad thing. It being thin would mean that you can, it's not heavy bodied, so you'd be able to drink a good bit of it. It'll be, you know, as Steve would say, in his gulping jug.
Oh no, what does he call it?
Guzzling jug.
Guzzler.
It's a guzzler.
A proper guzzler.
Who was the brewer in Rye River for this one?
The brewer in Rye River for this one was Conor Muldowney.
Yeah. Now the information we've been given, obviously, is that these guys have been asked to brew this from the ground up. It's exclusively available only in Dunstores in Ireland, in grocery. The pale ale is €1.99 a bottle.
That's a really good price.
But these are not rebadged beers, as is common with some other breweries.
Yeah,
brand new, original beer.
They are not a rebranding of any of their previous beers. Totally different, totally new.
Yeah, it's excellent. You know, another string in the bow of Rye River in terms of they have what now? They have Dunstores and Super.
They've Dunstores, they've Tesco's, they've Lidl.
And obviously their own McGargles brand as well. So they have got a lot of volume coming out. And, you know, it's really great to see an Indigenous Irish company that's owned by Irish people do well.
Did I see a tweet the other day about more Rye River beers coming?
Well, Alex was kind of saying there's one or two things on the horizon, but he wouldn't tell me much.
Well, we'll just have to keep our eyes peeled, won't we?
Yeah, we will. So the next beer in the range that we've been sent to review is the Grafters IPA.
And this bad boy comes in at 6.5%.
6.5? Yes. A little bit big boy pants.
So what do you think of the aroma on this one?
Oddly enough, I'm struggling to get as much aroma off this as I was the pale ale. You know, I definitely get that IPA kind of smell. It's very subtle.
Does it lose the citrusiness?
But it's got
an aroma.
I think this is more kind of mandarin tangerine kind of orange flavor there. A bit of grapefruit, kind of pink grapefruit. Very malty.
Definitely gets your taste buds like it's real bitter.
It's not going to terrify someone who has never had an IPA before.
No, I...
It might terrify someone who's only been drinking Budweiser before.
Well, I think if I was going to actually start somebody out on a pale ale, I think I might suggest that they try that, purely because it's value for money. It's value for money, but it's a beer that's well made and it tastes good.
Yeah, like I think a fair descriptor of both beers is solid. You know, I enjoy both. I probably prefer slightly the pale ale, if I'm being honest. I normally go with the IPA all day long, you know. You know me, guys.
I'm more of an IPA guy.
I'm a devout new...
Pop monster.
I'm a devout new worshipper at the crown of One Human Cannonball. And, you know, the more hops, the better. But, you know, there's just something about quaffability about a beer like that pale ale I really like. Something that's widely available. You know, you can get it reasonably priced. And, you know, it's a great starting point for people. But thanks very much.
It'd be lovely with a roast chicken.
Yeah, something... Even salmon, those kind of delicate flavours.
Or
it wouldn't...
salad.
Get out of town. Salad. Maybe if there's a big giant steak and you're talking about the side salad that you get with it, no chance. But the thing is, like...
But
again,
there's women out there who like beer and there's women out there who like salad. So yeah, beer and no. Salad
munchers do. Sorry, no. All the meats. Carnivore and proud. I suppose the thing is, they're two very good beers from two good brewers in Rye River, and it's really great to see that they are doing something for another multiple, which gets them, you know, more people to see their beer. Very solid. I definitely pick them up myself the next time I'm in Dunn's.
Definitely, yeah.
Be handy to have in the fridge.
And it was Owen Ashmore who brewed the IPA from Rye River.
Great. So now we've kind of covered off the beers. We did a brew day.
Oh my God, how much fun was the brew day? I thought it was awesome. We met outside Smith's on the 11th of April at 9 o'clock. And we got a minibus over to be there for 10.
That was the most ramshackle minibus ever, by the way.
Oh my God, you're never in charge of transport again.
Do not let me organise anything. That's just rule number one.
But it was great fun. There was about 7 or 8 of us on the bus. We had a bit of banter on the way over. We had a pickup in Summer Hill, and it was great crack. We actually arrived on time too.
Yeah, just in time to start milling the grains.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, I suppose it was great for a lot of guys. Like, surprisingly enough, there was a number of fellas that hadn't actually been in operational breweries before. Like, you know, everyone talks about going off to Guinness or whatever, but you actually don't see any of the physical brewery in the storehouse when you go there. Like, obviously, craft breweries around the country open themselves up for tours, and Rye River actually have the 100-litre plant that you can brew. Like, they use it mainly for their pilot beers, but they let people come in, stag parties, hen do's, brew their own 100 litres of beer if you want it, served at a wedding or a family function or something, which is really great. It's, you know, it's really interesting to see how you break your own beers. So,
but even like, before we even got into the brew, Alex was kind enough to give us a whole tour of the brewery as well.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I think I had to pick my jaw up off the floor quite a few times.
Yeah, like if you compare it to some of the other breweries, and this is no offence to some of the great breweries around Ireland at the moment, but this kit is miles more advanced.
Oh my God, it's huge.
Controlled by iPads, for God's sake.
It's class. It's like nothing I've seen in Ireland before.
Yeah, and it's a first for a company called Spectac in Dundalk that made the kit for Rye River specifically to their specs. But, you know, it's great to see the differences in breweries as well. Like, obviously, you hopefully will see it yourself when we're over in Brewdog in June.
Whoop whoop.
That we hopefully get to go up to the Ellen Brewery and you'll see their scale and their setup and the similarities between breweries. There's a lot of things the same, but there's a lot of things different as well.
So on to our brew, Wayne. You actually came up with the recipe. Do you want to tell how did you come up with that?
One too many beers is how I came up with that recipe.
All the best ideas are formed when you're drunk.
Made it up in my head. Yeah, well, when we kind of knew that we were going to be doing a 100 litres batch of beer, it was kind of saying, well, when's the beer going to be ready for in summer and summertime? And being an Irish kid, like, even though I grew up in England, you know, rock shandy. Like, every time I come home on holidays, rock shandy, rock shandy, rock shandy. I'd be sneaking home 2 litre bottles of rock shandy.
We know what rock shandy is. Why don't you tell others what Rock Shandy is?
Right, Rock Shandy, for the unenlightened and the underprivileged people of the world who have not had this beverage before, is made by a company called Club, and it is essentially a mix of orange and lemon fizzy drink. So if you took Fanta Lemon and Fanta Orange and mixed the two of them together, it wouldn't be anywhere close to Rock Shandy, because Club Orange and Club Lemon has bits in it, so it's kind of like made with orange juice. It is fantastic stuff. It's perfect on a hot sunny day, lovely with a pint glass of ice, extra refreshing. They're the kind of memories I wanted for a beer to trigger with the hops and everything. And hopefully, we've got that result. So I came up with a recipe for a standard pale ale. Again, we're not going for, you know,
a huge... Did you not come up with a recipe that was a little bit out there and you were hoping for an IPA?
No. I tweaked it back because we were talking about doing it. And, you know, with it being a summer beer, I didn't want it to be too high in alcohol. So we kind of hit a range of 4.5%, which, you know, is a nice sessionable strength. We can then obviously, you know, get more of that going. Like at the end of the day, it's one of those beers that I think is going to be fantastic.
So tell us, what was used in them? What hops were used? What?
Grains.
Tell us about it, Wayne.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest. I kind of came up with the recipe. It was standard pale malt. Well, pale malt, a bit of crystal for colour, and a little bit of rye because it's in Rye River. Now, obviously, the rye will give it a little bit of dryness as well. So Alex was kind enough to kind of say, look, we've got more than one type of pale malt here. This is what we have. Have a look and see what you think. We ended up picking Halcyon Malt by Fossetts, which is from Castleford in the UK. We then picked Crystal 60 to give it a bit of an amber colour. And then the rye is in there as well. Again, it's a bit of a thank you to Rye River for brewing the beer with us. The hops we picked then, we have some Columbus hops, which are quite low alpha acid just for bittering. And we have Falconer's Flight 7Cs and also Amarillo. Everyone knows Amarillo. It's got that real kind of tangerine-y, orangey flavour. Falconer's Flight is a blend of the 7C hops from America. So it's an experimental kind of blend, but it really gives strong citrusy flavours. So we whirlpooled a fair amount at half an hour, and then it was dry hopped to bejesus. In the secondary conditioning. So we are expecting a juicy Rock Shandy pale ale. I have on good authority from Alex that she's tasting lovely, and we're hoping to have a social keg night with the brew club now shortly, where we all get together and taste the proof of our efforts and, you know, really enjoy a beer. Now, Alex was fantastic.
He was fantastic. The patience of a saint, but not only that, he really taught us quite a lot as well.
Yeah.
You know, he's a wealth of knowledge.
Wealth of knowledge.
Such a young guy.
But he's also, he shares his knowledge. You know, like even little things, you know, he's got a massive homebrew background himself. Brewed some great beers. He showed it at Alltech. They had an amazing Berliner Weiss and double IPA that frankly beat the socks off anything else I tasted that week. And, you know, it's real talent, but he's a real down-to-earth guy, loves a bit of fun. You know, we were there necking away drinks and having a laugh, and he shared one of his Belgian Saisons with us, yeah, which was truly fantastic. I think it had guava in it or something. But again, you know, the hospitality, and huge thanks goes out to Alex for his time, to Alan and Niall for letting us loose in the brewery. Restraining orders, I expect.
Hope you liked the brownies.
Yeah, tell us about the brownies. Like your baking is legendary now.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't go so far as to say legendary. But I made the porter, the double chocolate porter brownies. But I actually did something a little bit different, and I used mint chocolate rather than the usual dark chocolate, and I used the Solus Stout. Again, from Rye River, and that one's available in Tesco's. And then I also made a cheese and spring onion loaf using the red ale from Crafty Brewing.
Was that not meant to be chives?
It was supposed to be chives, but I didn't have chives and I couldn't get chives anywhere, so I used spring onion.
And spring onions are also from the chives.
Yes, we know that.
Yeah, we will argue this point forever. But yeah, you know, and hopefully, I know Al, when he got back into the office on the Monday, that the brownies had in fact survived and the other staff had not munched them on him, which I was kind of half expecting. But
well, it was very difficult. You don't know how difficult it was to leave those brownies behind and not devour them because I was so hungry.
Yeah, they were delicious brownies. I suppose like it was a real good thing. Like obviously, I'd go down to recommend it to anyone. The invitation is open from Rye River to any homebrew clubs or homebrewers who want to go down and maybe do a beer on the 100-litre kit system.
It's just so much
great
fun.
It's
just
a great laugh.
So much fun, especially with a gang of people. It's great crack, and I do highly recommend it as a day out.
Yeah, there was plenty of banter going on, and then we ended up taking the Magical Mystery Tour bus back to Navan, and
that I don't even remember.
Certain points were a blur, but it was all fun at the end of the day. So Rye River Brew Day was an absolute blast, and it was great to have our local homebrew club, the Royal County Brewers, involved there. Anyone who is from Meath or the eastern side of the country and interested in finding out more about us, you can find details of our club on the National Homebrew Club's website. Also, they're on Twitter at Royal County HBC and royalcountybrewers@gmail.com. You know, we met again last night, and it was just a good laugh, good people, good beer, and yeah, that's what it's all about. So, we seem to be coming towards the end
of
this week's scheduled broadcast.
Yes, we have. Well, this month, more like.
Yeah, we really need to do that.
But before we leave you, you have your little surprise, Wayne.
We all like surprises. This week, we were fortunate enough to go to PMAX Pub in Dublin, just off Stephen's Green, to a Meet the Brewer event.
Put on by Four Corners.
Yeah, and people here meet the brewer and go, ugh. But what was really interesting about this one, we had Tubius over from
Tuol.
I've probably pronounced that wrong again.
Oh, sure, here, so have I.
Even after he explained to me how it's pronounced.
I think it's just the Irish tongue. It's just certain words we can't say.
It's our anglicised accents that mean we can't say the words properly. But thankfully, in an exclusive for the Irish Beer Snob podcast, we actually have a short interview with Tubius that will feature at the end of this programme. He settles the debate once and for all how to pronounce the name of the brewery. He also gives us the handy tip that it's easier to pronounce when you've had a few beers. So it was great to
have more crafters for me, though.
More First Frontier, more appropriate for Tuol. But the thing was, he was over in Ireland bringing three beers that have never been poured over here: Friends of Benefits Pale Ale, the By Udder Means Milk Stout, and then lastly the Garden of Eden IPA, which was made with tropical fruits and had a really interesting flavour.
That one was my favourite of all three.
Yeah, I think I preferred the By Udder Means. But anyway, I'll let you listen to the interview as well, so stay tuned for that. Thanks again for listening.
I've been Mrs. Beer Snob on Twitter.
I am Irish Beer Snob on Twitter.
We are on Facebook, Irish Beer Snob.
IrishBeerSnob.com for the blog and other written bits.
We're on Untapped.
Irish Beer Snob.
At DunJM.
Instagram.
Irish Beer Snob.
Your Mrs. _. Don't forget the _ Beer Snob. That's got me into trouble, guys. You don't know how close it was to divorce in the Beer Snob house over that now. So I'm going to wrap up now before I go back into my dungeon. And I'm going to leave you with this interview with Tubius. Happy drinking, guys. Any comments, suggestions, feedback, always welcome. Cheers.
Flanja.
Good evening, everybody. It's Wayne here from the Irish Beer Snob podcast. Got an exclusive interview tonight with Tubius from Tuol. So we're going to settle this argument once and for all.
Yes, the brewery is called Tuol.
Okay.
It's not that difficult to pronounce. It's just you have to like spit a little bit while you pronounce it. You say Tuol.
So it's a name that gets easier to say when you've had a few beers.
Yes, exactly. The funny thing is that we chose the name because it reflects the founders. It's me, Tobias, and Toro. We founded the company together in 2010.
Okay.
And that was, first of all, to reflect that it's the beers of Toro and Tobias. So it's Öl.
Yeah.
Öl is Danish for ale, basically.
Yeah.
So it's two ales. And it's kind of funny that you can walk into a pub in Copenhagen and you can order two beers, and then you get one beer. That was sort of the point.
So it's a play on words. That's very clever, actually. So starting in 2010, that'd make you quite young by kind of current standards. Like, would you have kind of worked in a brewery before, or did you come from a homebrewing background?
Definitely the homebrewer's background. I had no experience. I know what direction we were going to, but we were just 23 years old when we started the company. And that was sort of a new thing for us.
Yeah.
But it was just like people were demanding our homebrew beers so much that we really couldn't like supply all of them. And we were good friends with Miguel from McKellar.
All right, yeah.
And he offered us a good opportunity, like all the help you need for how do you start a company? How do you get a warehouse? How do you find a brewery to brew it? Because we knew we were going to be gypsy brewers because we didn't have any money to start with.
Yeah.
So basically what we did was to spend all our child savings, which wasn't a lot, to brew one batch of beer.
Okay.
So that batch of beer was brewed. Mikkel helped us to sell it to his current customers. And then the company has basically grown from being... We bought one batch with our own money. We got the money back from that batch. Brewed a slightly bigger batch the next time. And repeat. And I guess 2 years ago, 3 years ago maybe, it was a proficient job to us.
Okay.
It was a side project. We didn't go all in from the beginning. Tor still had a job. I was still a student at the... University of Copenhagen.
Okay.
So I didn't think we ever realized that when we were homebrewers and just starting to make beers for our friends in 2010, that we would grow to a size where I would be in Ireland speaking with the Irish beer snob about the beers we do. And I'm going to Belfast tomorrow. I'm brewing at Beavertown in 2 days at Thursday.
Yeah, I think that really highlights the sense of global community there is with good beer. And, you know, like I suppose a number of people I know would not like the craft beer term. I suppose they would kind of view it as a bit like, oh, it doesn't really say much about what we do. But what I really love seeing is collaborations with breweries who get together, like McKellar and Brewdog have obviously done several
exactly.
together. And, you know, out of interest, what was your first batch of beer that you brewed to sell?
The first batch of beer we brewed to sell, well, it's kind of hard to say because the first beer was a collab beer with Mikkeller, which was really a helping hand to give us a name in the beer
business.
All
right, okay.
Because if you brew something with Mikkeller, you must be good at something.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was the overall Imperial IPA, but the first beer that we made ourselves was the First Frontier.
First Frontier,
It was an IPA. And we did that to symbolize that, what are you all about? Well, we were all about hoppy, hop-forward, bitter beers.
Yeah.
And I think an IPA would reflect that. And in 2010, IPA was still a little bit intriguing and interesting. I know that today you can get IPAs everywhere.
Yeah.
But in 2010, it was a symbolic action to like show them, this is what we're all about.
Yeah.
Great, balanced, hop-forward beers.
Yeah, because you mentioned earlier when you were talking to the people in there that Denmark really doesn't have a brewing heritage that would be famous,
exactly.
like, say, England. England would obviously have a very rich brewing heritage. So you guys were going out and setting your stall out with First Frontier, which, as it happens, is one of my favourite beers. I think it's one of the first beers of yours I tried. And every time I see something by you, I just say, well, I have to try that because it's always interesting. Like, I think, as you say, like, IPA was a thing back in 2010 when they were kind of really interesting, but styles and tastes evolve all the time. Like, I find myself diving in for sour beers and all sorts of things now, whereas, you know, if I'm looking for something, I'm like, God, I want something really hoppy. First Frontier is one of the top beers on my list, and I know my wife loves it as well. So you mentioned earlier Gypsy Brewers. Like, for people who don't know, Gypsy Brewers will be... You don't have a physical brewery in Denmark.
We don't.
So I can't come over and lie under a tap of First Frontier and abuse your hospitality, no?
That's impossible. We would love anyone hearing this podcast that, well, we do have an office in Copenhagen where we keep most of our beers in stock because we try to like, we're a small company, we try to service small restaurants and cafes and bars.
You look after the local people, yeah.
But we never wanted to go down that road, which is buying your own brewery, because we enjoy the traveling.
Yeah.
Just this year, Today is May 2015. This year, I have been brewing beer in with Pinta in Krakow in Poland, Pojala in Tallinn in Estonia, Mean Sardine outside Lisbon in Portugal. I've brewed with Levi Aksjebryggeri in Norway in Stavanger, and I've been brewing beer with Nafa Beer outside Pamplona. And my partner Tora has went to Nomada, also in Spain, outside Madrid.
Excellent.
For making cola beers.
So you've got the two passions that most people have in life is good beer and travel.
And travel.
It must be an amazing lifestyle to lead.
It's a good lifestyle. I sincerely enjoy it. But there's the pitfall about having your own brewery.
Yeah.
Most people, they need to do investments or taking a bank loan or get some sort of investor because it's a lot of money to put
costs
up front.
Money, yeah.
What do you do when you have to pay rent every week? You have to put up volumes every week to satisfy the rent you need to pay.
Yeah.
And you can't circumvent that fact, but we just really, really wanted to be able to be free.
Yeah.
To say that if we don't want to bother to brew anything this month because we lack inspiration,
yeah,
we don't need to brew.
Yeah.
Because we just pay basically a small rent for the warehouse we have, and that's the only expense we have so far.
Yeah.
So we can wait until we don't need to brew beer. We have the option of brewing beer.
Excellent. Well, the thing is, like that freedom will come across in some of the beers we tried tonight. Like, we got to try three beers tonight that were available in Ireland for the first time. Friends with Benefits by Other Means, which is actually the spelling of cow udders as well.
Yes,
which I really enjoyed.
It's a nice cow udder.
And then Garden of Eden as well. So out of those three, I suppose, I found the Garden of Eden a really interesting beer. In the set, you mentioned there's a lot of tropical fruits in there.
Exactly.
For an IPA, it gives it quite a tartness, because the fruitiness, the fruity flavours to it. It's not like when you think IPA, you're already kind of thinking to the hops and to the bitterness. But this was kind of different. Can you maybe just tell us a little bit more about the Garden of Eden?
The Garden of Eden is a beer that really reflects our approach to brewing. It's about taking fruits that complement or accentuate the hops in the beer. We didn't want to try, if you ever tried it, anyone here listening to this podcast, it's not a sweet beer. It's a dry beer. It's still an IPA. We respect that it's an IPA, but I think that the fruits really, really well accentuate the hop flavors.
Yes, it does. And what hops are in there?
It's the Citra and Simcoe.
Oh, lovely.
So it's two American quite citrus or fruit-driven hops that for us goes well together with the tropical fruit notes of the of all the fruits we use for this beer.
No, I must say I really enjoyed it. I must say it's a real sign of the burgeoning scene in Ireland that brewers like yourself are coming over. Obviously, in a few weeks, we've got Gareth Oliver from Brooklyn Brewing coming over. We have regularly James from Brewdog and others from the UK come over regularly. But it's great for you to spare me a few minutes of your time today. Hope you enjoy your flying visit to Dublin and you have good fun up in Belfast tomorrow.
I will do.
And I'll keep an eye out for that collaboration with Beavertown.
Should do that.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Thanks. The Irish Craft Beer subreddit is the best way to keep pace with all the latest news, views, reviews and interviews relating to the Irish craft beer scene. Check out this subreddit at www.reddit.com/r/IrishCraftBeer and join the revolution.